Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Ram Goldar and today Mezekah Sanhedrin Daf Ein Vav, the ninth parak HaNisrafin. The Zikhu Mezekah Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zikhu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asked for the source to apply Sreifa to relations with Bito Me'anusaso, his daughter from a woman he violated, meaning not from his wife. Abai says it's a Kavah Chomer. Abbas Bito Anush. For his daughter's daughter, he's punished with Sreifa. Abito will Koshikane? Is it not certainly so for his daughter herself? The Gemara objects, Viki Onshim Min Adin, do we punish based on a Kavah Chomer? It answers, Gilui Milsa Ba'amahu. It's merely revealing a law already included in a known law, not deriving a new one. Since his daughter's daughter is only related to him through his daughter's prohibition is implicit in his granddaughter's prohibition. Rava disagrees and derives this law from a Gezeirah Shavah, Heina Heina Zima Zima, teaching that just as his wife's daughter has the same prohibition and Sreifa as her granddaughter, his own daughter's laws also match his granddaughter's. A Braisa darshans the superfluous Ish of Ubas Ish Kohen and the daughter of a man who's a Kohen to mean a man's daughter, not for marriage, interpreting the next verse as Kisecheli's Noses Avia, who profanes herself through relations with her father, which is punished with Sreifa. Point number two, Rav said, Hamasias Bito Azakin, one who marries his young daughter to an old man, Bamasi Ishu of Nokatan, or marries off his minor son, Bamakzer Avedo Akusi, or returns a lost object to an idolater. The Pasuk says about him, Uman Sfosa Rava is Tzmeya, so that the quench be attached to the thirsty, or Yeva Hashem Soloch Lo. Hashem will not be willing to forgive him. Rashi explains that he's pairing someone with a little desire for relations, an old man or minor, with a wife who's thirsty for them, leading her to sin. Similarly, one who returns a lost object to an idolater equates the quenched, meaning the idolaters, with the thirsty, meaning Jews who thirst to fulfill Hashem's will, and indicates that his returning of lost items is not because of the commandment. Rav is challenged from a brayso, which praises one who marries off his children as minors, close to their physical maturity, in addition to one who loves his wife like himself, honors her more than himself, and who guides his children on the straight path. The Gemara answers that marrying them off close to maturity is different since they'll soon desire relations. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that Herig, beheading, is administered to a murderer and the people of an Ir Nidagas. If one held someone down under water or in a fire and prevented him from escaping and he died, the murderer is liable even if he did not initially place the victim there. If he could have escaped and did not, the murderer is exempt even if he did push the victim there. Shmuel says the source for liability for preventing escape from a lethal element is from the Pasuk Obe'eva, or with enmity, where the word or indicates urabos as a mitzamsem, to include one who confines someone to exposure to a lethal element. A man once confined someone's animal in the sun and it died. Ravina ruled he's liable to pay for damages based on the Kavah Chomer for murder. If a murder, which is only liable when intentional, is still liable in a case of mitzamsem, then damages for which someone is liable even when they were unintentional should certainly be liable for mitzamsem. Rav Acha bar Rav exempted him from damages because the above pasuk concludes rotzeachu. He is a murderer, implying that only for murder is one responsible for mitzamsem and not damages. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara asked for the source to apply sreifa to relations with Bito Me'anusaso, his daughter from a woman he violated, meaning not from his wife. Abai says it's a Kavah Chomer. Abbas Bito Anush. For his daughter's daughter, he's punished with sreifa. Abito will Koshikane? Is it not certainly so for his daughter herself? The Gemara objects, Viki Onshim Min Adin, do we punish based on a Kavah Chomer? It answers, Gilui Milsa Ba'amahu. It's merely revealing a law already included in a known law, not deriving a new one. Since his daughter's daughter is only related to him through his daughter's prohibition is implicit in his granddaughter's prohibition. Rava disagrees and derives this law from a Gezeirah Shavah, Heina Heina Zima Zima, teaching that just as his wife's daughter has the same prohibition and Sreifa as her granddaughter, his own daughter's laws also match his granddaughter's. A Braisa darshans the superfluous Ish of Ubas Ish Kohen and the daughter of a man who's a Kohen to mean a man's daughter, not for marriage, interpreting the next verse as Kisecheli's Noses Avia, who profanes herself through relations with her father, which is punished with Sreifa. Point number two, Rav said, Hamasias Bito Azakin, one who marries his young daughter to an old man, Bamasi Ishu of Nokatan, or marries off his minor son, Bamakzer Avedo Akusi, or returns a lost object to an idolater. The Pasuk says about him, Uman Sfosa Rava is Tzmeya, so that the quench be attached to the thirsty, or Yeva Hashem Soloch Lo. Hashem will not be willing to forgive him. Rashi explains that he's pairing someone with a little desire for relations, an old man or minor, with a wife who's thirsty for them, leading her to sin. Similarly, one who returns a lost object to an idolater equates the quenched, meaning the idolaters, with the thirsty, meaning Jews who thirst to fulfill Hashem's will, and indicates that his returning of lost items is not because of the commandment. Rav is challenged from a brayso, which praises one who marries off his children as minors, close to their physical maturity, in addition to one who loves his wife like himself, honors her more than himself, and who guides his children on the straight path. The Gemara answers that marrying them off close to maturity is different, since they'll soon desire relations. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that herig, beheading, is administered to a murderer and the people of an Ir Nidachas. If one held someone down under water or in a fire and prevented him from escaping and he died, the murderer is liable even if he did not initially place the victim there. If he could have escaped and did not, the murderer is exempt even if he did push the victim there. Shmuel says the source for liability for preventing escape from a lethal element is from the pasuk obe'eva, or with enmity, where the word or indicates urabos as a mitzamsem, to include one who confined someone to exposure to a lethal element. A man once confined someone's animal in the sun and it died. Ravina ruled he's liable to pay for damages based on the Kal Vachomer for murder. If a murder, which is only liable when intentional, is still liable in a case of mitzamsem, then damages for which someone is liable even when they were unintentional should certainly be liable for mitzamsem. Rav Acha bar Rav exempted him from damages because the above pasuk concludes rotzeachu. He is a murderer, implying that only for murder is one responsible for mitzamsim and not damages. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Ayin Vav, and this was suggested to us by Yeshua Eisenberg from Miami. He suggested that Ayin Vav is IV, intravenous. So here goes. The nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer he wouldn't want her to, skipped the next patient, an idolater, who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, and was glad to see that the mitzamsim of the drowning victim was getting the proper punishment. Once again, slow motion. The nurse who didn't administer IV, that mismiron duff, Ayin Vav, IV, intravenous. The nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer he wouldn't want her to, which reminds us, the Gemara asks for the source to apply Sreifa to relations with Bito Ma'anusoso, his daughter from a woman he violated, meaning not from his wife. Abai says it's a Kal Vachomer, Al Bas Bito Anush, for his daughter's daughter he's punished with Sreifa, Al Bito Kol Shekein, is it not certainly so for his daughter herself? The Gemara objects, Viki Onshimina Din, do we punish based on a Kal Vachomer? It answers Gilyum Milsa Ba'amahu. It's merely revealing a law already included in a known law, not deriving a new one. Since his daughter's daughter is only related to him through his daughter's prohibition is implicit in his granddaughter's prohibition. Rava disagrees and derives this law from a Gezer Shavav, Heinehena Zima Zima, teaching that just as his wife's daughter has the same prohibition and Sreifa as her granddaughter, his own daughter's laws also match his granddaughter's. So the nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer he wouldn't want her to, skipped the next patient, an idolater, who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, which reminds us, Rav said, Hamasias Bito Azakin, one who marries his young daughter to an old man, or marries off his minor son, or returns a lost object to an idolater. The pasuk says about him, so that the quenched be attached to the thirsty, Hashem will not be willing to forgive him. Rashi explains that he's pairing someone with little desire for relations, an old man or minor, with a wife who's thirsty for them, leading her to sin. Similarly, one who returns a lost object to an idolater equates the quenched, meaning the idolaters, with the thirsty, meaning Jews who thirst to fulfill Hashem's will, and indicates that his returning of lost items is not because of the commandment. So the nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer he wouldn't want her to, skipped the next patient, an idolater, who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, and was glad to see that the mitzamsim of the drowning victim was getting the proper punishment, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the liability for murder of mitzamsim, of preventing escape, and its law for damages. So once again, the nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer he wouldn't want her to, skipped the next patient, an idolater who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, and was glad to see that the mitzamsim of the drowning victim was getting the proper punishment. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Simur Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must be on Daf Ayin Beis of thick. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, which reminds us, a burglar who enters a house b'machteres may be killed because he's prepared to kill the homeowner. Rava explains this law. Chazakein adam mamin atzma mamono. There is an established presumption that a person does not hold himself back from protecting his property. So the burglar who takes this into account must have decided that if the homeowner will confront him, he'll kill the homeowner. So the cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the burglar broke a barrel while he was breaking in, then ein lo damim, if he has no blood, meaning he is an ordinary burglar who may be killed, he's patur from paying the damages. Since he may be killed, he cannot also be liable for damages during that time, because we say, kamlei b'derabim minei, he's only subject to the greater punishment. So the cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for, and woke up the baby whose mother unfortunately passed away during childbirth. Which reminds, the Mishnah states that although before a baby is born, it can be killed to save the mother's life, because an unborn child is not a full-fledged life, yatzarosho enogimbo, after its head came out of the mother, we cannot touch it, meaning to kill it, to save the mother. Because we do not push away one life to save another life. But according to Rav Huna, the baby should be a rotif, since it threatens the mother's life and may be killed. The Gemara answers that that case is different because it's from Shemaim that the mother is being pursued, meaning the baby is not actively pursuing the mother. The danger is happening on its own. Dafayin Gimel. So the Simur Dafayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The man throwing giant ostrich eggs? That must be on Daf. Ein Gimel. The man throwing giant ostrich eggs trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Ve'elohen shematzivun osam b'nafshan. These are those whom we save from sinning with their lives, meaning they're killed to be stopped. One is pursuing someone to kill him, or pursuing a male or an amorasa to have relations with them. However, one who is pursuing an animal for relations or is about to be Machal Shabbos or worship of Odazora is not killed. Rashi explains that this law applies to where there's an Avera and Pagam. There's a disgrace to the victim or death. So the man throwing giant ostrich eggs trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman stopped when she said, leave him be. Which reminds us, in the Bereis, Rabbi Yehuda said, Af homeres hanichulo shol yaragena. Even if the woman tells rescuers, leave him to violate me and do not stop him, so not kill her. If they attempt to rescue, the pursuer cannot be killed. So the man throwing giant ostrich eggs trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman stopped when she said, leave him be, rendering the attacker chayiv in kenas, which reminds us the Braisa taught that one pursuing any erva can be killed to stop him. The Gemara that a Mishnah teaches that one who violates his sister pays the 50 shekel kenas for violating a basua. But if he could have been killed at the time, he should be exempt from the kenas because of kimle b'derabimine. Rav Chisda answers that the case is where he first had relations with her, shelo kadarka, unnaturally, so she's already disgraced, but still basua, and then violated her normally, for which she becomes liable for the kenas. Other answers are given. Daf Ein Dalet, so the simur Daf Ein Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. Well, one aid, that must be on Daf Ein Dalet. While one aid told the Nirduf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the Rodif's leg to avoid being chai misa, which reminds us, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul said that if a Rodif was pursuing someone to kill him, and one was able to save the potential victim by disabling one of the Rodif's limbs, well, he'd still, and he didn't save him that way, but killed the pursuer, Neragolov, the rescuer himself, is killed for it, since it was necessary to save the victim. So, while one aid told that Nirduf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the Rodif's leg to avoid being chai misa, a pair of aidim told their terrified friend that although Yeherug val Yavor usually applies to three averos, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan reported that it was voted and decided that regarding all averos, if one is told transgress this avera or else will kill you, then Yavor val Yehereg, he should transgress and not be killed except for avodah zorah, gil yarayis, and shfichus damim. So while one aid told a Nirduf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the Rodif's leg to avoid being chayv misa, a pair of aidim told their terrified friend that although Yeherug val Yavor usually applies to three averos, this was Shas Gezeres HaMalchus, and he should give up his life rather than change his shoelaces for Goyisha ones. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that B'Shas Gezeres HaMalchus, during a time of governmental decrees against Yiddishkeit, one must sacrifice his life to avoid transgressing even mitzvah kala, a minor mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan said the same for any aver transgressed before Hesi in public before 10 Jews. A mitzvah call includes even changing his shoelaces, where the Jewish practice differs for modesty purposes. Daf Ein Hey, so the simur Daf Ein Hey is an Amaharetz. So here goes. The broken-hearted Amaharetz, that must be on Daf Ein Hey. The broken-hearted Amma Arts in the Srafer room, dying next to a barrier with no one on the other side, which reminds us, rub-related, that a certain man became obsessed with a woman until he became dangerously ill. Doctors said he had no cure but to have relations with her, but the sages ruled he should die rather than have relations with her. The doctors suggested she stand before him unclothed, but the sages again ruled it's better that he should die. Finally, the doctors suggested she merely speak with him from behind a barrier, but they ruled he should die rather than let her speak with him from behind a barrier. So the broken-hearted Amma Arts in the Srafer room, dying next to a barrier with no one on the other side, called out to an Isha Abita for help, not knowing who exactly he was referring to, which reminds us, the ninth parak begins, Ve'elohena Nisrafin, these are the ones who are burned. A Baal Isha Abita, one who has relations with a mother and her daughter, Ubas Kohen Shazinta, and a Kohen's daughter who commits adultery. Included in Isha Abita, which is written explicitly, are one's daughter, his granddaughter from either his son or daughter, his wife's daughter or granddaughter from her son or daughter, his mother-in-law and the mother of his mother-in-law or father-in-law. So the broken-hearted Amma Arts in the Srafer room, dying next to a barrier with no one on the other side, called out to an Isha Abita for help, not knowing who exactly he was referring to, and was surprised when his wife's grandmother appeared, despite being Lamata Be'isr, which reminds us, we learned that a grandmother-in-law who is less related than a mother-in-law incurs Srafer like she does. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which duff do you discuss whether one can kill a baby during childbirth to save the mother? That's on duff Ayin Beis. Good. Number two, which duff do we discuss the ill effects of wine? That's on duff Ayin. Good. Number three, which duff do we learn the source to apply Srafer to relations with Bito Menusa, so his daughter from a woman he violated? That's on duff Ayin Vav. Good. Number four, which duff do we learn a Ben Noach who kills another Ben Noach and then converts is Pater? That's on duff Ayin off. Good. Number five, which duff they learn that b'shas gezeres hamalchus, one must give up his life even for a mitzvah kala, such as changing one's shoelaces? That's on duff Ayin dal. Good. Number six, which duff they learn that one does not become a ben sora mora if he ate and drank at a chabur's mitzvah? That's on duff Ayin. Good. Number seven, which duff they learn if the woman tells rescuers to let the pursuers be and let him violate her for fear she'll be killed, the rotif cannot be killed? That's on duff Ayin gimel. Good. Number eight, which duff they learn about the liability for murder of mitzamsem, of preventing escape? That's on duff Ayin vav. Good. Number nine, which duff does the Mishnah list those that we save from sinning by killing them, such as one who pursues a nar marasa? That's on duff Ayin gimel. Good. And number 10, which duff do you discuss marrying off one's minor son or returning an aveda to an idolater? That's on duff Ayin vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.